Is that recording? Okay, right. It's recording now. For those who are listening, there was a prayer before. Okay. So, just to kind of give you the picture of what I'm going to share this afternoon, I'm kind of really sharing some workings out and some ideas and some themes, some of which may be familiar to you, some of which will be new to you. So what you're not getting here is, here is a plan of action for the next 10 years laid out. It's more, look, this is what the Lord wants us to do. Here are some things that we've thought about in the way in which we might do this. We need to be praying into it. So as much of it is getting into the process by which we work out what we do and how we do that. Okay. So maybe just as a broad picture, just to remind ourselves, Oikos Church started almost 7 years ago. I think that's right. Seems like a long time. We started with a few of us in our front room, praying and seeking the Lord and learning and being trained in our minds to think differently about what it meant to be the church, and we started to reach an area called Short Heath, about 2,000, 3,000 people living in that community, and we focused in on community, on that community and trying to get to know people and serving that community. As we grew, we multiplied out and started reaching different communities and continued to meet as one church on a Sunday. Most of the time, we kept that that meeting not unknown to people, but definitely didn't massively publicize meeting together. Part of that was because we wanted to grow together before we saw more people come, and then they were going to come into a culture rather than dilute that culture. And so we've continued to seek the Lord and to grow, and you guys are part of what we would call gospel communities, which were kind of the outworkings of all the Lord led us to do. And I think pretty much most of us get the idea of gospel communities, family of people on mission, focus on reaching people. Yeah, we want people to come to know Jesus. We're not interested in projects, we're interested in people. Projects might be a vehicle to people, but they're not to replace people. And then as we've grown, we've grown in people who are taking responsibilities for different areas in church life. So our vision, if I can put it like this, the vision is to see the glory of God to be seen by all. So the glory of God would be seen by all. And then the mission has been to see communities of light or gospel communities littered around Birmingham and the West Midlands. And I've added a little caveat there, with a bent, that should say, not a bend, a bent, to places and people that are hard to reach or hard to plant. That was part of why we went to Unton and Short Heath. We're saying, look, we don't want to pick the easy places. We want to go to places where people aren't going, because people need to know Christ there. And so I suggest that is part of what the Lord has called us to do. Not exclusively. So I'm not saying, people where there are a lot of Christians or there may be lots of other churches, we don't want a gospel community there. Wherever there's a people who want to reach people, there can be a gospel community. But as we are strategic about multiplying, then there will be a bent, I think, to go to places that are harder to reach where other people doesn't want to go. And there's a number of reasons for that. First is that the gospel community model, the way in which we're doing it, so remember, we're people, so it's not really about the model, but just the way in which we do it means it's easier to plant in harder places than other churches who want to set up a gathering and plant out from something larger to something smaller. Why? Because, one, there probably won't be enough people to gather. Two, you can't afford to gather because you don't have enough people to gather. And three, you have to probably employ someone to do the amount of work that might be needed to do to support a larger number of people. Therefore, you need money. And therefore, money's not really easy to come by when you're working in hard-to-reach places. Because when people come to the Lord, they won't necessarily be able to tithe as much as others. So unless you've got a sugar daddy of a church, you don't go to those places. So I'm saying that because I think the Lord has given us to say, yes, great, go. You don't need a X, Y, and Z to reach people. You just need a people on mission in a place. That's where I want you to go. So that'll form part of what I'm going to say. So the method has been planting GCs, and then I think possibly going forward, gatherings, churches, and even revitalizing churches, and I'll share a little bit more about that. So that's kind of like an overview. The present reality for us is this. We have four GCs. They're all in the north of the city. We have a gathering on a Sunday. That's in the north of the city. We have a cafe, which is kind of a business social enterprise. A whole group of people on mission through that. We have three elders, 18 GC leaders, two ministry apprentices, ministry leaders, a manager and assistant manager in the cafe, that's all those, two gospel workers in Harriet and Elisa, sorry. we've had quite a few of them. I was trying to remember which ones were still here. And then now, some of you might not know, but I'm introducing it to you now. We have two church planting residents. These are guys who are working, who are giving up their time part-time to come and work for the church. We have Dan. Give him a little round of applause. Yeah. He's working 3 days a week, 2 days a week. One day of that week, his study. He's doing a theological course, which I think he's going to find stretching, but good for him. And then he's been involved in some of the other stuff in the work, so in the church, and that will grow over time. And as he gets into what it will be to study and manage the rest of stuff as well. And then Andy Lee, who's not able to be here, he's was already working 3 days a week and has come on to do a church planning residency. He's not doing this. Each of those residencies has three parts. Some sort of theological formation, some personal spiritual formation, some ministry formation, okay? And then the sort of theological spiritual formation, Dan is doing this sort of three-year course, and at the moment, Andy's doing a one-year course with Birmingham 2020, which is called Incubator, which is all about church planting. So the idea is, as long as there's something in each of those boxes, I don't mind. It's not like a cookie cutter reality saying you've got to do that course. That's the only course you can do. It's whatever suits where that person is. And then also we have relationships to various degrees with other churches who might need revitalization, who might desire it, who might not desire it. So that's kind of like the present reality. So then a sort of broad sweep in the sort of future aspirations. You've heard me talk about drilling deep, reaching wide, and here are just some sort of broad strokes, which I'll unpack a little bit more. And in one sense, the drilling deep is pretty much saying we need to continue to drill deep in what we're doing. The one thing I do not want to happen is that if there are other things happening over here, that our attention is drifted over here to think somehow this is the most important thing, this is the new thing, this is the thing that the church's energy is going into. I want to kind of release you from that to say, no, our job is to drill deep where we are. You don't need to worry about these other things that are taking place. You need to pray for them, support them, encourage them, build them up. But you plow, you sow, you reap where you are. But as I spent time with the Lord, there were a couple of things which the Lord put on my heart. And I think we can see some of the themes from the sermon this morning, the series that we're going to go through. Just wanting us to not lose sight of him. I don't think we have lost sight of him. He just doesn't want us to. And he wants us to press in, though I don't really like that word, but press in, because I haven't got another word for it, to him more and desire him more as our first love. I think we've got the idea of how to try and get alongside people. The way in which we can do that as a community is together. But it all comes from an internal flame. It can't be manufactured by mere organizing. Yeah? I don't think we're doing that, but you can quite easily have a mission shift. And I don't know if you remember, we did about 4 years ago, we did like, you know, loving God, loving others, reaching his disciples. And then we had this box, building, money, staff, projects. You can quite easily start focusing on the box when we should be focusing on the Lord. And then the box will start to take care of itself. As we start getting passionate about Christ and continue to fan the flame, so we'll share Christ with people. We'll invite them to things like Alpha. We'll spend time with our unbelieving friends. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, who is the great missioner, is propelling us out. So, of course, we have to organize. We have to think about those things. We need to get into our brain. But it's not, that's the vehicle. It's got no power unless the Holy Spirit is at work in us and through us. And so I want us to fan the flame, both our own personal joy and walk with the Lord, but then our corporate joy and walk with the Lord. So that's kind of like devotion to God. And then that will, I'll jump to the next one, but that'll fan out into relationships with unbelievers. That'll fan out into our GC life together. And then in our personal disciplines in terms of just enjoying being, I've called them disciplines because we have to be disciplined to do them, but you know what I'm talking about, reading the word, being in those things. I'll explain these a little bit more. Then a couple of other things that I think the Lord, in terms of drilling deeper, is development of sort of, I'm calling it trellis structure. So imagine most of our ministry has been, we're just going to call it like horizontal. So we're all trying to reach different groups. We've got gospel community going here. We've got gospel community going here. We've got gospel community going this way. So they're all reaching different ones. And most of the time, if you've got one gospel community, they can kind of support themselves. But what we need to develop, and we've got like cafe going that way, what we need to develop is almost like a lattice structure which enables to support those GCs. So GCs and all the ministries and projects that we do. So some of that sort of horizontal reality is things like people who can administrate and organize well. You know, we need that. We particularly need that in the cafe, and just the, you know, you don't see most of all the forms that need to be filled in for the church as a legal entity and all those sort of things and the finances, those things. So we need things that people that are going that way, who've got ministries to support across them. Of course, we've done things like coaching, training, those things are going as support structures across them, and that's why they're important and valuable. We don't want them to become the main thing. You know, the sort of horizontal is reaching people. The vertical is just supporting people as they reach people. So I think there's stuff that we can do. And as you grow, the reality is you've got to put that structure in place. Otherwise, you can't grow to next level. That's why we asked Nikki, give a day a week to worship. Why? Because we want to grow in that area and we need some organization that's going to lead that across the whole of our church. So that's that. And then leadership development, some of the stuff that we've been talking about already. And I'll go into these a little bit more detail in a second. And then reaching wider, we've always wanted to plant new GCs. Most of them have come by multiplication, but we see the need, and I'll share a little bit more about starting churches, revitalizing churches, and sending out more or some missionaries as well. So we want there to be a city focus, but we want there to be a global focus as well. Though it's not just about us and our church and our neighborhood, but it's about the world and where God might be sending us. So I'm just going to just go through some of these very briefly. So I just want us to fan into flame a devotion, yeah? And we're going to do that by trying to put into place over this next year and on, preaching series that are fanning the flame, yeah? So we're starting off with delighting the Lord. I don't know what will be next, but that's the sort of thing. And I just want to encourage you who are gospel community leaders to think about the same thing, yeah? I'm not telling you to do exactly the same series or whatever, but I'm just encouraging you that's the theme I want us to go on. Delighting in the Lord, fanning to flame our love and our passion for him. And if you come up with something and it worked really well, brilliant. Tell somebody else about it, and then another GC can, you know, use it if they want to. But I want that to be stirred amongst. I don't want us to go cold on that. But teaching is part of that. Training is part of that. Loving and serving is part of our devotion to God. And so we're just trying to fan that into flame. Next one, development of the trellis structure, a little bit of what I've said, but some examples that are going to come. Hopefully, Sam, Shauna, if you're listening to this, Sam, sorry. She's going to come and she's going to be around, hopefully she gets through immigration, all that sort of thing, around, and she's going to take on some work as a family worker. I haven't told these guys, but she'll probably join your GC. Sammy was here before. Some of you will remember her. She got baptized in the back garden of our house. Yes, she's desired to come back for a while, but now is the time we're ready for her to come, and she's ready to come. So she shall come hopefully in December or January this year. So we want to support family work, and that's going to go across everything. It's going to be in the GC. It's going to be in the cafe. How can she help motivate and reach families? Maybe it'll look like something happening on a Saturday. Maybe she'll... I don't know what she's going to do. Yeah? But in terms of, like, the actual things. But she's going to be supporting families and encouraging family work and caring for families in all sorts of different ways. So we're excited about that. That's the sort of trellis I'm talking about. That's going to now help other people across the board do these things well. It's going to help on Sunday with Claire, with the kids' work there. We've talked about our welcome GC. In one sense, our welcome GC is, rather than going horizontally, it's going to go vertically. It's going to try and come across to support the gathering, support other GCs in their welcome, to support stuff that's happening out at the cafe, to fill a support structure of people who are new to us and then welcoming them in. An example of that is, like, we are at organizing Alpha. Other people are welcome to help, but, you know, we're saying, no, we'll make sure that happens. And so that'll be this term. Who knows what we'll do next term? There'll be something different that we'll give our time to. There'll be seasons for different things. Administrational support, organizational support, deacons. You'll notice we've tried to appoint some more deacons. We continue to need to appoint more deacons to become that support trellis that helps us grow beyond where we are. And as we grow, what we're going to need is more clarity, and that's part of what we've got to work through, clarity of roles. You know, I always think, like, organizational structures are hard because whenever you grow, it's like to a new phase and you have to work out what you need. I spent some time when I was away on sabbatical speaking to a guy who has written books on this and has spoken to churches and will continue to be in relationship with him about barriers to growth that are organizational, that churches don't expect to come along, but they just hit, and they just can't get past that certain size, you know? And one of the barriers for a church growing, or potentially growing, apart from not shelling people about Jesus and people coming to faith, organizationally I'm talking, is things like the gathering, the way the gathering takes place. You know, if it's a bit thrown together, then people that are coming another way other than relationships, they don't tend to stay. Because whatever we think about our gathering, which we love, and I think we've promoted about that today, the gathering together is important, you know, we know that it's not the be-all and end-all of our existence together. And yet when people are coming in, we have to remember that they don't necessarily think that straight away. They want to come into a great welcome. Notice we've changed the welcome teams. Yeah, they want to come to a great welcome, into a place where the people of God are worshiping and loving Jesus. And then they start to think, hey, you know what? This is a mission that I could be on. I'd love it if it was all personal invitation and we just grew that way. But the reality is that's one of the barriers. So I'm just giving you an example there of the way in which we've tried already. We've seen some of these changes to do these things for the good of people coming to know Christ or growing in Christ or coming back to Christ and following him. So these things we'll find out practical. You'll start to see things happening, yeah? And you should see these things happening over time fairly, you know, quite often. This will make sense of why they're taking place. So, all right. Relationship with unbelievers. I just want to encourage us to pursue relationship with unbelievers. I think we've got a lot of acquaintances, but sometimes we just don't go past it. And I don't know if it's a fear factor. a time factor. I don't know what it is, but I think, you know, that can happen. And I just want to encourage us to pursue people in a deep way, you know, to seek their good. And that means going deep with them. What I don't want is gospel communities to become a barrier to us pursuing people. As in like, oh, we're doing this, but then we can't pursue people. We've got to make space for pursuing people. But also, gospel communities aren't just about the one or two people who necessarily feel passionate about that. It's about fanning into flame all our passions, that we're part of a team who can be part of reaching people together. So I'm throwing out that tension, really, between that you can sometimes feel pursuing people on our own, if we're that way inclined, can be easier than doing it with a team. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, you're slowing me down. But it's not about slowing you down. It's about spurring everybody on to do it, believing that we can do more together than we can just merely on our own. But you're going to have to watch that tension in your GC life, that we have time. And then also just, you know, being confident to do the one-on-one Bible studies with people. You know, we're doing Alpha or Christianity Explored. Great, that's brilliant. It's not there to replace you meeting one-on-one with people and sharing Christ with them, but it is there as a support that some of you might say, I just get to that point, I don't know what to do. I wish I did, I don't know what to do. Brilliant, invite them. You've done the hard work in building a relationship. Come along, let those who are maybe more confident show you and walk alongside you as you try and reach these folks for Christ. And then in GC, just felt the Lord encouraging us to continue with our mission focus, be clear about what we're trying to do and who we're trying to reach. And then just over these next 12 months, to be trying to sow in that DNA stuff, that one-on-ones. We've been trying to develop that in our GC over the last 6 months, and we're still sort of getting to that place of it being, well, it's definitely regular. It's just, we're just learning what that means, is what I'm saying, together as a group. And every time you form a new group, you've kind of got to, not relearn it, but you've got to learn it together. And then also something I haven't really said before, though explicitly, but I think implicitly, and I think maybe might be helpful for us, to say that generally a GC really wants to be multiplying every 12 to 24 months. If it's not multiplied within 12 to 24 months, you might want to reorganize like we did. I think that's a lesson we learned, that when we reorganized, it brought life. But also because, despite its very nature, it wants to be reaching people who don't know Jesus. If it's not grown to a point where you think, well, you know what, we can multiply, you might have to ask about, well, it would be at least time to stop and reflect. So I'm saying that I think it should be a goal for multiplication in 12 and 24 months in a perfect world. If you're in a group that's just lost 6 people, 10 people to move somewhere else, of course you're not multiplying. That is fine. Don't, you know... And there may be more groups that are more pastoral, you know. But what I don't want us to do is to have no goal. If we're sharing people, you know, if we're starting from scratch and we're just meeting people for the first time, we should, our GC, from that point, we should really be looking to multiply within 12, 24 months. That gives time for leadership to grow. It gives time for people to come to know the Lord. So I know that might feel a bit of pressure. I don't want to feel pressure. I'm just saying I think it's a good goal, and we should have that goal to say we are about multiplying. We aren't just about staying the same. We want to see people come to know the Lord. Leadership development. Here's some of the things that are already happening. There's some staff development. There's some leadership development that we're doing, which used to be like the GC stuff. There's going to be some elder candidate training that we want to do. So we want, one of the areas where we want to also strengthen is in elders. So we'll take some guys through. This is what it might mean to be an elder. It doesn't mean they will be at the end. It's just saying, hey, why don't you go through it? Because you need to go through it anyway to become an elder, because it'll tell you all about what it means to be an elder. But we'll journey with those people through that. And that'll, it's kind of part of that assessment. And the elders we are going to go through that with them. So it's not like you're doing it with Jez. Actually, we're going to do it because we think it'll be healthy and good for us to do that. We want to see leadership growing in terms of like GC leadership, continue to see folks stepping up into leadership and being spurred on into that. Developing GC coaching, I think, if we multiply much more, we're going to need more than just me doing the coaching. It was good that you guys were able to do some of the coaching before. But again, that's almost like a job in itself. Does that make sense? Like if you're coaching people, you might not want to be leading your own GC. You're going to be part of one, but you might be giving your time in terms of leadership and coaching other people. So I think we'll grow in that. And we do need to continue to grow in gospel workers. We need more people on the ground. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I was going to look at it from the time that people committed at the beginning to give to the cafe. So this is not a criticism, but I'm just saying it's an analogy, a sort of evidence, in comparison to what they actually are giving now. And I would thought that we are probably about 25% of what people pledged at the beginning. That means we need more gospel workers who are in the cafe, working week in, week out. It's not a criticism. Things have changed. People have given more. Some people have given less. Life has moved around. That's fine. I'm just saying, I think probably, if I was to look at it, we're probably about 25% of the actual time given. So we can see why we need more workers on the ground, not just for the cafe, but just in terms of being in that melting pot of people. And, we have had a good tradition of folks doing it internally and externally. So I think we've probably had about 4 or 5 people internally and 3 from overseas. But we'll take them from anywhere. Well, I'm not joking. Someone's got some hands and they want to put them for the Lord. That's fine, as long as not doing our job for us, that's all that matters. As long as we're doing our bit, seeking the Lord and being productive, I don't mind where they come from. We're going to need this. So don't be surprised if there's more folks. I need to motor on through this, actually. I want to encourage us in prayer and fasting and reading the Word. Enough said. Okay, so that's drilling deep. These are big things. It's not necessarily we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I don't want to do that for you to say, here are all the things that we're doing. I'm just going to let you know that those things are going to be popping up and you're going to start to see, I can see why we're doing that. We want to drill deeper and this is to support this and this is to do that. And that's why we've got these people coming and that's why they're doing that. That's why Jez is talking with me, et cetera, et cetera. Reaching wider. One of the things the Lord put on my heart when I was away, I read through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and I was really wrestling over some of the stuff I was going to share with you in terms of reaching wider. Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Those sort of things. And as I was reading through 1 Samuel, and I got to 2 Samuel about David, I started to read about how God's hand was on David, and how, because his heart was for David's heart was for God, God said to him, wherever you go, I'm going to give you victory. And so I was saying, Lord, where do you want us to go next? What do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? I just felt the Lord say to me, and then therefore I think to us, son, wherever you go, I'm going to give you victory. And I read Samuel 7, Samuel 8, and you'll read all the places he went, and I plotted them on a map. And literally, they just surrounded the whole of Jerusalem. Not that we're Jerusalem, but surrounded the center. Wherever they were, they went north, south, east, west, every different direction. Every person they, when they came to, they had victory over them. Every area they went to, they took the land. Just felt the Lord say, hey, wherever you go, take the land. I'll give to you. But they also noticed that David always sought the Lord before he went. Always sought the Lord. And that was Saul's problem, wasn't it? because he didn't seek the Lord and he wouldn't wait for Samuel. And the final straw that God's hand was removed from him was when, I can't remember who he was going up to take, but they were waiting for Samuel and he was one day late and he tried to do the sacrifice himself. And unlucky for him, if he just waited, looks like a few minutes later, Samuel turns up and says, "What have you done? What have you done? Your hand, God's hand's not on what you're doing." So this is not a carte blanche. Wherever we go, let's go everywhere. Lord's go. Wherever we want to go, we should seek the Lord and see if he wants to go. But he's going to be with us when we go. Does that make sense? So it's not a case of saying, "Oh, you're in the north, you should stay in the north," or, you know, "Don't do this, don't do that." It's like, wherever you go, wherever it seems fit, I'll lead you in that, but you seek my face before you go, and I'll tell you to go or not to go. Simples. Yeah? And so that's what the God, I feel, was saying to us. And he just laid on my heart again the passion for doing what I feel the Lord's called us and me to do. Plant more gospel communities, either out of us or start a new churches, as in like go to a new area, or revitalize churches that desire help. Now, we could be sitting here and saying, "Jez, lovely, but do you know how small we are?" But let me remind you that when we started, we were but a few. When we started, we wouldn't have probably imagined some of the things that we are already doing. God has blessed us, and he's led us, and he's grown us. We are still, in that sense, not a massive body, but we are big enough to be sending some people out to start from the beginning again and reach people in new areas. And one of the reasons why I feel that that is true is that that is the passion that God's given me to do. And so I have confidence in him, not in my own strength, but know that in some way he has maybe gifted me to go and do those things. And so that is what I desire for us. And I think there's a way in which we can do that together where I can use my gifts, I'll share a little bit about that in a second, to release other people who also have the desire but maybe don't have the experience and are growing in the gifts of doing that. But then also I think we want to have a vision for the world and sending out missionaries. We don't want to be like, "Don't go anywhere. Don't have bigger visions than Erdington or Boldmere or North or Birmingham." We want to say, "Well, wherever the Lord would send you, we want to release you to go." I think that's good and healthy for a church. So, this is our current church life. I've tried to do some maps for you. There we are. There's like a gathering there. Got Boldmere crew, give a wave. And then these ones just signify the other three, because they're not geographical so much. Okay? That is our current. We have one gathering, and then we have four. That was pretty good. So the question then is, and the one that I've been chewing over, is our desire is to go to places where we are not. So these four, those four, they can all multiply. And what will that produce? Just that'll produce more here, won't it? Generally, it's likely that if it's people you're reaching, they're close to you in proximity, that will multiply and will grow. That's what's happened before. But how do we reach? If we've got a vision for the city, and let me just say clearly, when I say a vision for the city, what I mean is this: we are part of a gospel vision for the city. We are not the vision for the city. We don't hold the vision for the city. We are holding part of, or being part of, a gospel vision for the city. So church planting is happening in other places. We've just got to seek the Lord and say, "What do you want us to do as part of that broader vision?" Rather than saying our vision is the vision, it's the one vision. If only people get on our vision, we'd get the vision done. No, there are other visions that are part of the same vision. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thank you for simplifying that. We're part of a bigger picture. Okay. So the vision, I think the Lord has put on my heart, is that we would see churches going to being planted in hard-to-reach places across the city. So the black indicates a gathering. So what we're not, what I'm not suggesting is we have Erdington, we have our gathering here. This is the end goal. It's not the step one goal, step two goal. It's the end goal. It'd be great, wouldn't it, to see churches 100 and, you know, 50, 60, 100, 120, whatever size they are, in different locations around in Birmingham, reaching people like we are. We don't want to be 500 people here in Erdington and them trying to reach people in King's Heath. We don't want that. We want something in King's Heath, reaching people for King's Heath, because there is something key to proximity. And also, we've got enough to graft on here. We've got like 100,000 people. That's just in the Erdington area. Take Bolmere and add some more, maybe 20,000 more people as we grow, maybe in Sutton. There's going to be little centres where people can gather, but there will be some areas where they can't. So I think the best goal would be to see other churches set up. What the relationship between them is, that's kind of like, we'll leave that to the Lord. I think some relationship would be really great, at least to start with, because it's about growing. As you have experienced, some of you from very early on this journey, you've got to grow culture. And the best way that a culture can grow is if it's like other cultures are submerged into it and come out of it. Trying to start from scratch is very hard. We've got experience, we have, even though we're small, we've got experience from starting from scratch. We've got experience of growing a culture that people think is quite different and amazing. Dan was telling me that he was sharing just a little bit about what we're doing with some of the guys on his course, and they're going like, I can't believe you're doing that. Are you doing that? The guys from America in a church of what? How big is the church that... Yeah. 1,000 people. How are you doing a cafe? We couldn't pull a cafe off with 1,000 people. Like, well, yeah, there's a reason why we pull it off, and it's a culture. Most churches wouldn't be able to pull it off, but we have a culture that means that we can pull it off. We're focused on what we're doing. So there's something to offer helping other churches being planted that we want to pass on that DNA. So it does need to be passed on, otherwise the journey is very hard, or the planter has to be extremely experienced to make it happen. Because it's not an easy thing. I'm not sure if I started from scratch again, like without all the things that we've learned, whether it would be the same outcome, apart from God's grace. Does that make sense? So the stuff that we learn, if we've already learned it, we can help pass that on. So I think the big vision would be lovely to see just churches, either the ones that have been revitalized or newly planted, littered across Birmingham, some way connected together, don't know how, maybe not, maybe some might just want to be independent, released, brilliant, praise the Lord, but you know, we want to establish them. So then the question is, how do you do it? To me, there's a number of different ways, and this is where I've really wrestled with the Lord. Do you plant out from the current centre? So the current centre is here in Erdington. We've got 3 gospel communities, 1 in Bolmere. So do you plant out from here? Do you go 2 miles to the south, 2 miles to the west, 2 miles? Do you stay in proximity so those groups can be established so that they will become a church? So it's being planted as a church, but it's staying connected until it can become its own church. Does that make sense? But it's in a place that you would say they could meet there. They wouldn't need to come and meet with us. So do you plant out that way? Pros for that is strength of relationship, the ability to still connect with us here. As in, like, if we did a GC in, say, King Standing, and we thought, you know, the whole area of King Standing up there, there could be some relationship, but at the same time, they wouldn't necessarily, you know, they would know from the outside that the goal is to become a center for more gospel communities. Downside of that is that, you know, in terms of where you're going next, it's limited, isn't it? I mean, it's not the south. You can't get anywhere near the south. You can only really go in a close proximity to where you already are. Would that limit the growth of becoming a church because the comfortability of still meeting within the context of a church? Don't know. These things that I've wrestled with. I'm showing you my workings. I haven't got necessarily the answer. The other way is this. You could plant out from the centre. You could say, you know what? We've got GCs in the north. Why don't we move our centre to city centre, and therefore you can spread out by planting gospel communities. It may be quicker because you might more people who like what we're doing who currently don't really know about us or in the south of the city and think, yeah, lovely, but how can I be involved in that? And a classic example would say be Andy Lee, who's not here, who's, you know, it's like, yeah, I really want to be part of you. I need to move to the north. Do we want everyone to move to the north? No. But there is some limitations, because if you're not in what we're doing, if you're not part of it, how do you learn it? You can't learn it unless you're part of it. So you have to be part of it to learn it. So therefore, there are geographical boundaries to that. So we could move the centre to there and start to then multiply out to other other areas of the city. And therefore, one of the pros of that would be that you can pretty much reach anywhere, and it's possibly a decent stage two, as in, like, it would support life organizationally for a number of years until you were able to get to the place of them becoming independent churches. So this is not an end goal. The other one was the end goal. This will be a step goal, like the other one is planting out 2 miles south. So that's another option that is there. Okay, that's what's next. Okay. There is a what next. That doesn't matter in what we do. So, do we have any questions? Yes. The centre essentially is the place where the different families are gathering and meeting. So we, you know, we've got room in the north of the city, we're in Boldmere, but actually, you know, Erdington is the centre of what we're doing. We gather here, we have the cafe here, everything revolves around this centre here.
This building,
yes. But it's where we gather, it's where we train, where we do all these things, where we have an office, where we do all those things. Wherever you're reaching, you're going to have a center out of which other things are being supported. So, and probably in terms of, say, where we are right now, we don't need to be a different center in necessarily in the north of the city. So in terms of moving it, what I'm saying is that rather than doing our central things here, you'd move your centre to the city, and your centre would become there, and the gospel communities would be out where they are. They don't move, they don't change. Relationships, things that we do, it's just when we gather there, and it becomes more of that centre. So it's like a gather and scatter. So one of the things which I've wrestled with is how do we have a vision for the city which is absolutely locally rooted. How do we do that as we grow? I can see how we do that as you've grown, because the end goal is totally locally rooted, and the gathering expresses that rootedness. But the question is, how do you go from here to seeing churches started in places where we're not? Does that make sense? So, yeah.
I was just going to say, so a third way that you haven't talked about, but I don't know if it's been in your thinking, would be to have a centre here, but to, if you like, split and have a centre in the centre. So that it's kind of a halfway between where you are trying to get to. Do you know what I mean? It's like a step even.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it sounds very dramatic, doesn't it? But then all of this is, to some degree,
yes,
would be taken.
Yeah.
If you imagine half of the church, if you like, then gathering centrally to then slope.
Yeah.
Start to move out from that point, but still retaining some sense of centre.
Yeah. I've also thought, you know, can you have two centres, as in gathering centres? Could you gather morning here, evening in the centre of Birmingham? My fear is losing our focus. Like, in some ways, this is not really about you and what you're doing. It's about what we will do. So I don't want to lose focus on what we're doing for the sake of something that we will do. We need to keep focusing on what we're doing. So it's finding that right balance where we don't want to be sort of unsettled in such a way we don't feel like we're able to focus on what we're doing, or it just makes it very hard for what we're doing. So yeah. Yes? We'll come along to new GCs a bit later, mate. Yeah, he's no, I'm serious. No, and absolutely. We'll talk about that. I want us to focus on this sort of more broader picture reality. And let me be honest. I'm not saying that I favour one over the other, because I'll show you in a minute why the next step is the next thing that we do is irrelevant. What we choose now, or what we think about now, is irrelevant with what we do next. The very next step that we are going to take. Any other just thoughts and questions on that? Pros, cons that you can think of?
I guess just one thing is that, like, the practical, if at the moment it's like moving our centre to a city centre as opposed to having it here, if our gospel communities haven't grown or our numbers haven't grown, we're just moving into the city centre, then it's just a practical kind of resourcing essentially two centres, like without closing this place down and then putting something just in the city centre, if we were to keep this place even as a cafe, like we have space here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to then also just have some more space in a city centre that we can gather. It's, yeah, I don't know, just that kind of resourcing that for a period of time that means you can then go from that outward. But that doesn't happen straight away, does it? You don't move the centre and then you're out from there.
Yes. So again, maybe just clarify what I'm saying. I'm just giving you options of what I've been trying to get through in my head. What that would mean is that really our gathering would be on a Sunday, would be city centre, so that if there are other folks who desire to be part of the sort of thing that we're doing who are in the south, they can come in. So what we find is, it's true, people will come into the centre, but they won't cross the centre that much. Okay, so people go into Birmingham all the time, they catch the train, they don't think much about going into the centre, it doesn't feel like a big journey for them, but as soon as you've got to come across the centre, it feels like a big journey, and it just feels disconnected. So the idea would be that there's a possibility for a time, this is not the end goal, I want to be clear, it's not an end goal, it's like, how do you get to the place where you're resourcing more people, sending more people out to start more gospel communities? One of the ways is potentially by saying, if we gather in the centre, there will be people who say, you know what, I like what you're doing. They start to learn about what we're doing. It doesn't affect anything else other than a gathering on a Sunday. Yeah? But people get a vision for the city. Sometimes it's hard to explain a vision for the city when you're north. I find it difficult with the church planting guys. And I go, we've got a vision for the city. You know, we're part of that vision. You're in the north. No, it's just impossible. You just try and explain that. Now, if the guys are in the centre, they're like, oh, yeah, we're a church for the city. Yeah, look at us, because we meet in the centre. Well, nobody lives in the centre. You actually aren't reaching anybody in the centre. You just gather in the centre. But in their minds, they see themselves, and the people that go see themselves with that broad vision. Sometimes it's hard to have that broad vision if you are out of the centre, because people don't get it. Now, maybe other cities that are smaller, you can't get away with it in Birmingham. It's just too big. It's one of those cities that is just, you just don't know. Like, we don't know every church in this city. that is really passionate about Jesus. If I went to Liverpool, I'd probably know a lot, like a high percentage of the churches. I'm meeting people who are reaching people in all sorts of places. I didn't even know they existed. That's the size that Birmingham is. Went to Sheffield and had a good conversation with the Crowded House. I tried to explain to them, they couldn't get it. I said, you're in the centre. They said, well, we're not. We're only you're only like a mile out. I said, but you're like a third of the size of Birmingham. You got to understand, you know. So I was trying to explain to them, they didn't get it. Well, they did get it, but some of them didn't get it. They're like, oh, but you are near the centre. It's like, but that doesn't work. People don't travel that way. So some of this is just questioning about aspirations or how do we communicate that to folks. This is not for us to stop doing the stuff that we're doing. You just keep on grafting where we are. This is about recruiting, training, equipping, sending out folks with the goal that churches will be planted around. And I would imagine that once churches are established where churches are planted, where folks can gather, that center, if there was a center, that would just, we just bring it to an end, because it would be no need for it anymore. So city vision, locally rooted, I don't think any church has quite cracked it. I meet the churches in the center and they talk about what they're doing and they are not locally rooted at all. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? They are not. And a lot of the leaders, they're in awe of what we do. They just don't think they can do it. So we're starting from a good place, not because we're like great or big or have anything to boast about, but just something about the way in which we are. They don't think they can do it with big. Break big down, but I wonder if you can from small grow big and keep a culture. But that's all part of the dilemma.
Building communities and building the body of Christ in a specific place, and then that becomes a church. It takes longer to get south, but it spreads over the city in a genuine way that achieves all of the things that you're saying.
So I agree in part with what you're saying, in that it hasn't been done. So don't hear me wrong, I'm not pushing for this, but I just want to answer it as a straight question rather than like, we are going this way. I'm just trying to persuade you. I'm not trying to persuade anybody to do this. When you go from greater to lesser, that means a greater number, and try and send people out and say, oh, we are locally rooted, but everything that you do is centralized, then it will not work. And that is what churches have tended to do in their city center. When you grow from lesser to greater, which means that you have people who are already locally rooted, who are already doing it, then there is a possible potential that it could work if you keep going on the same ilk. Does that make sense? So you are keep on repeating the same thing that you're doing.
Which isn't this, is it? It's the other one.
No, it could be that. No, because it would be just recruiting people from somewhere else, training them, and then sending them out to where they are. So you're not going like from a big group and now saying, our goal is to be a big church. Oh, we better get people locally rooted. And then you try and do it and you realize people have chosen you because you're a big church. This would be more saying, if you've got a training center, you know, a thing in the middle that you're recruiting people and sending people out. Yeah. Yes.
It's an interim step.
Yes.
To get to.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're meeting people in the centre, in wherever you are, and you're engaging with them, and you're bringing them with you.
Yeah.
So yes, but there is a travel. in an interim, yes. So the cost would all be ours. It wouldn't be the new people, they don't know any better. They're already, they don't worry about travelling 2 miles to the city centre. They're maybe doing it already. But the cost would all be ours. Does that make sense? Because we have the end goal here. Does that make sense?
I guess the thing with that I'm trying to wrestle with is that surely if you want to get back to the stage where there is a gathering also here,
yes.
Because this is a step towards then that happening here and in other places, wouldn't it still therefore be good to keep a remnant to keep a gathering here? Because then you want to get back to that place anyway at some point. And so it's kind of continuity, but it also...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would have a really dramatic effect on us because we'd have to realise that some people are staying.
But I don't know if who would you send? There's nobody to send because there's nobody like there. Does that make sense? Like I think there would be, if you were sending people somewhere, you want them already to be locally rooted. If they're just gathering there, to have two gatherings where some say, we don't come to this one, even though we live in this area and are part of this, but we'll go to that one to support that. To me, that doesn't feel right. If there's going to be one here, then if we were here, this is the one that we would want to go to, and we should go to, because it is the one that's locally rooted. If there's one in the centre, then it would be better that we... I think it would be better that we all went as a way of saying we should do this. But I know we're... Should I move us the other way? Because I'm getting trying to fix on that one. I'm not giving you this is what we should do. I'm just wanting you to wrestle with the same things that I've wrestled with. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes. How do we get from the gathering in the centre to that? Like, how does it look when you have everybody gathering in the centre and then at some point you say, right, guys, this gathering point is only going to be for those people that are in the GCs that are city centre-based. The rest of you have got to go out and sort out gatherings that are where your GCs currently are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you plant them out. You plant them out as church plants that need to get to a point of sustainability to have their own gathering. Okay. Does that make sense? And that mass is probably 3 or 4
GCs.
So part of those guys going out is can they plant? If they can't plant and they continue to be like a one GC, better that they come and gather with other people, isn't it, to be encouraged. Does that make sense?
They get to a point where they're big enough and then their gathering starts.
Yes. So, I mean, I've seen this happen. Like, this would be something like Crowded House have done. Maybe inadvertently they've grown. And now they are looking to have people planting out in the city, in different places around. Sometimes estates. So I think they've got like 3 or 4 that they are currently doing. So they started off as kind of one hub, but they were enough city centre to now grow where they're saying, okay, GCs in these areas, now we want to plant them, become churches. Does that make sense? And so that's where they're going to try and to do. Yes.
But if you think of like the reaching lost people, how critical is Birmingham like being in the centre of the map? Or could you say like we're north of Birmingham but we're south of Derby? Do you know what I mean? So then your map's a different map, and then
yes.
Do you think has God called Oikos Church to Birmingham specifically being set like as a city and on the map, or are we saying like could West Brom be like
yep
I don't know, like if Birmingham causes us a problem because of how we talk and Things like that. Like, does
sure.
It,
yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, I would probably say that people, we don't realize it, but we think in boundaries. And so, you know, there are lines on maps that mean things that are no different. So the Chester Road would be a boundary line, wouldn't it? Between Sutton and Erdington. People know if they're in Erdington or if they're in Sutton. Yeah? Because of that boundary line. Sometimes that makes it difficult for people to cross it. People don't want to go to a church that's in Erdington because they want to go to a church that's in Sutton because they are in Sutton and that's the area that they're in. So I think in some way that it does, it definitely in a city this big means that folks in the south of the city don't want to cross. It feels too much of an effort to cross, to come to Erdington. Erdington doesn't feel, like I said, it feels parochial. That makes, yeah?
Yeah, I guess I just wondered yes. Like, why are we putting Birmingham central on that map? Is that what we're saying? We feel God's called us, that is how it should look.
I'd say Birmingham, the West Midlands, yeah. And Birmingham is still the centre of that. But the first thing that I suggested is like seeing this as a centre and just going yeah. 2 miles each way and trying to plant something and then going 2 miles from that each way. Trickle down around, yes, yes.
Because then if you do the same thing out from each of those five new ones,
yes.
Suddenly you are in Smedic and you are in
yes.
Whatever, Acock Street.
Thank you. Yes. The only, again, plus side, it's nice and stable, I think, fairly easy to manage. Downside is workers for the vineyard. Who's going to go? Do we weaken ourselves to send people away? How do you actually recruit for the vineyard? It won't be necessarily through new believers, because as we come to faith, we've got to grow in faith. We're not sent. Won't be like sending, you know, guys who've been following Jesus for a year out. Off you go. Good luck. So there is something of the pipeline of training leaders, equipping leaders who have that flexibility to move and desire to move into other places. And we have a lot of people, and this is why I don't want to disturb you, so it's not disturbing us, that a clear focus, we're rooted in this area, we're not moving. Good, don't move. This is not about spreading you guys thinner. It's about recruiting and training. And it's most likely not going to be hardly any of you involved in what's next. That's fine. It's my job to go and recruit and find people. If you're city centre, you've just got a bigger net to recruit from. People will see the vision. They'll buy into it. This way, the other way, you won't have that. So one's not right or wrong. I know we're talking about that one because that's the one that's tricky, isn't it? So that's why we're talking about it. I don't favour one or the other. I'm just giving you my workings out. Okay. So what's next is irrelevant to what we decide about how to go forward. And I think what I'm saying is I'm throwing it out there. You can chew over it. I think as elders, we're still chewing on it. We kind of know what we want to do next. We see some pros and cons in both things. But what's next is this. We are going to start something in Aston. That is definite. Andy Lee's going to be part of the team, and we're going to recruit some folks to do that, not internally, though if the Lord's put it on your heart, pray about it. That would be great. You can come and speak to us. It would mean moving to Aston. There'll only be a couple of people who might be shipping in and out to give experience to it. But they're going to be locally rooted, and they're going to start from scratch. And we're going to try and gather a team from around the city, from around the place, like we did from here. And we're going to give it a go and see if we can plant something in Aston. We have done quite a lot of preliminary work in terms of getting to the point of saying we're going to Aston, which is meeting with lots of other folks and different people. And we will be in phase two of that, which is essentially looking to recruit a team over the next four months. We'll see how that takes. Could turn into 6 months. We've met with quite a few churches there, just conversations. At this point, we haven't said to them, we are definitely, but we have talked about desiring to, rather than we're definitely. And I suppose that's where we are. There's not much more to say because everything's so organic that it's like talking about stuff when you haven't got a team. We desire to do that. Yeah.
So just a quick question. With the Aston one,
yes.
You put a dot for a gathering. Is that
yes.
a thing that will happen straight away, or straight away it will be a gospel community being planted there?
It will be a church being planted there that exists of a gospel community like we were when we first started, though we didn't call ourselves that. But they will gather with us because they need the strength and the culture until they get to a point where they can have their own.
Yeah.
We don't want them to be weighed down with worrying about gathering and preaching. Yeah. But who knows? That might be swifter than we anticipate. Yes. Those are just things you have to call as you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? You can't. Yes.
Like the next thing would be definitely having a GC and gathering, but they just wouldn't start with gathering with us.
Well, they would, but their gathering would just be their GC, so they wouldn't need another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Cause that's what we did, wasn't it? When we first gathered, we literally just gathered as one, just in a home, in a house. But you know, the reason it's there is to say it's a church plant. It's not a mere multiplication of what we're doing here. Which is like if we plant another one in Erdington, it will be a multi. We don't need to worry about that dot, do we? We're not saying, oh, we're planting a church in Erdington. We're already planting. It's just it's a same again. So it's to say, it will be looking to develop its own leadership, develop its own structures, but that may take 1, 2, 3 years. Who knows? You just can't put a time on these things of how you're going to go there. So in one sense, that one doesn't matter because it's already in geographical. Like the distance is not so big that you'd have to be in the centre to do that. It's not like we're going, oh, next one's in King's Heath. We've got an issue. We're asking all those guys to come over here every week. Like that would be a little bit awkward possibly. But yeah. A bus. Minibus, yeah. So, maybe just to... I mean, anyone got any questions about that? Maybe just to share one last thing then, which is, I suppose, really about me, really. I've thought, like, what does the Lord want me to do as part of this... Not this, Aston, per se, but I mean, like, this whole vision. And I feel the Lord is just affirmed in me, and maybe some of you guys would probably maybe back this up, of, you know, that pioneer can kind of connect to getting going, envisioner, gifting in me, and therefore it seems to me that it's best that I put that to work. And at this stage, I don't think it means anything different to like what I would already be doing. I've been able to pass on some of the responsibilities that I've gained over the years to others at this stage. But I just suppose I just wanted to flag that. I feel that in my heart. Clearly, if we went out from the centre and 2 miles each direction, I'm not, you know, me and Joe aren't moving every two years to a different area. Bang, 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 you know. It's just not, I just don't think that's where God would want us to do, but I think we could, you know, I can go and give the sort of lead, I could give some leadership deficit that others might have when they first start out. So they'll be present, we'll be actively working with them, but I don't, you know, the amount of time that they would need that gifting would be in its first 2 to 3 years, probably, and then some other sort of different relationship would be beneficial to them. So I you know, with the stuff in Aston, you know, I intend to be involved with it and to lead it with Andy and help him learn as he goes through that and walk him through those different steps, help him to learn those things. As that goes forward, as we think about the broader vision about how we do that, then that's why I'm thinking about what's good to be able to recruit and train and use the giftings that I have to benefit the going of the gospel out. And, you know, there's something in us, I think, that a Britishness probably, that doesn't like to think about going to places if somehow we're conquering. We have a conqueror phobia, don't we, because of the empire, the British Empire. But, you know, Paul wasn't afraid to go, to stay, to train, to leave, to go, to stay, to train, to leave. And I don't think we should be either. So it does mean as that takes place, and we need to also talk and think about other leadership deficits that we have that I don't possess, that maybe we need to recruit or raise up within us and amongst us to sustain it. Because I don't think it's sustainable with 3 elders planting these churches or helping revitalize churches, which could become options. We need a structure and an organization that enables that to take place. But I definitely feel called to go and start and do. That's just for the Lord's gifting on that. But we just need to work that out, how that works for us as a church. Anything else? Anyone wants to make any comments and thoughts? Like I said, these are my musings. These are my workings out on the sketchbook. There's not answers, and I didn't want to give necessary answers. We'll do this, we'll do that, because I think at this stage, it's about us chewing it over with the Lord, isn't it? Rather than, here's a script, I want you to follow it, guys. We've got to chew it over. We've got to seek the Lord as we move forward. But I pray that you won't get unsettled in that, you know, from what you're doing whilst these other things take place, but we just support it and recognize it as it's taking place. Kenny. Yeah.